to be back with y'all again at Bethel Church. It's been about 5 years since I've been here, and it doesn't seem like it's been that long, but then it seemed like it's been 25 years. I must have really answered every question in that last sermon because you hadn't had me back, so we're just going to take that as a good thing, and we'll pray that the Lord will bless our time together this evening and through the rest of the meeting. We sing that hymn, "Lord, how delightful 'tis to see a whole assembly worship thee." I want you to remember the thought of that as I turn to the book of Zechariah chapter 8. It's in the Old Testament, just a few books away from the New Testament. Some people call this Zechariah one of the minor prophets. I've never have liked that expression because that means a minor God gave him a minor prophecy, and I don't think that's the case. If God gave it, then it's pretty major, and it's something we need to pay attention to. Zechariah chapter 8 is describing a prophecy that is to come. We think about prophecy. People think it would be pretty neat to see prophecy fulfilled in front of them. You read a lot about Nostradamus, and oh, how wonderful it is to see all those things come true, and maybe this will come true, and what does this mean? And, you know, he's off on a few points, but that's okay, you know, because he's right on a few others. You know, that's bogus, beloved. We don't need to think about that thing. People get all worked up about the Gospel of Thomas, the Gospel of Judas. They're false gospels. Don't worry about it. We've got the real truth right here in the Holy Bible. And we are, beloved, seeing prophecy fulfilled. You don't need to turn to false prophets to see prophecy fulfilled. We're seeing it right now in the New Testament church. This was prophesied long before the Lord ever built it, when he said to his apostles, "On this rock," meaning himself, "I will build my church." We're in the church that Jesus Christ built. This church belongs to him. I know we like to say, my church. It's not ours, it's his. He's letting us use it. Why aren't we thankful to have it? Zechariah chapter 8. "Again, the word of the Lord of hosts came to me, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I was jealous for Zion with great jealousy, and I was jealous for her with great fury. Thus saith the Lord, I am returned unto Zion, and will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and Jerusalem shall be called a city of truth, and the mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain." That's figurative language for the New Testament church. The Apostle Paul says, we're not come to the mountain that might be touched, meaning Mount Sinai, but what did he say we've come to? He said, we're come to Mount Zion. Well, welcome to Zion. We're here. We drove all the way from Hot Springs, Arkansas this morning. Drove through blinding rain and hail to get here. I was gripping. There's some new grip marks on my steering wheel. But anyway, we got here to Nashville and got to Brother Ronald's house. His directions were fine. My following the directions weren't, but that's fine. We got there. We had dinner and got here, got to the church. My family had never been here, but I've been here several times. And we walked in and said hello to everybody, and that was good. I enjoyed that and started singing. When the Spirit of God came, which I felt, we stopped being at Bethel Church. We stopped being on Gallatin Road. You know where we went? We went to Mount Zion. So welcome. Welcome to Mount Zion. I hope we stay here for a few days. It's a good place to be. I've been here before, and I want to keep going back. This was a prophecy given by Zechariah, by the Lord through Zechariah, many years before Christ said, I will build my church. You're seeing it right now. Now, isn't this better than Gospel of Thomas or Judas or Nostradamus? Why even worry about that stuff? Don't let it cause you stress. Just forget about it. Keep coming to church and reminding yourself, it's Zion, it's prophesied, and here I am. I don't deserve it, but I'm glad to be here. Thank God for this place. All right. Verse 4, thus saith the Lord of hosts, there shall yet old men and old women dwell in the streets of Jerusalem, and every man with his staff in his hand for very age. And the streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in the streets thereof. Now, what a delightful sight in seeing this is. It's describing a place where the aged people and the young people meet together. And they meet, and of all places, the streets. Now, sometimes I'll get to be a wise guy, and I'll tell my kids, go play in the street. I really say that. And sometimes I actually mean it. They never do, though. But what I mean is, I want you to go to the most dangerous place and play there, so I won't have to worry about it. Because the most dangerous place in the city is the street. No, I really don't want my children to be playing in the streets of San Antonio. But I absolutely do not mind at all for them to play in the streets of Jerusalem. Because this is a safe place. There's no danger here. This is where God is. This is where the Lord is. This is where God's people is. This is the city that he built. This is the city that he called us to. And so the most dangerous place of human cities becomes the safest and most desirable place in God's city. And also notice the spectrum. You've got the very old and the very young. In that case, you've got the middle aged there too. And they're all together. There's not a special place for the young or for the old. They find grace and blessing together. Only God can do that. Now, when you take the Spirit out, you've got to have a special service for the young people. You've got to have a special thing for the old, because the thing which would interest and delight their soul is not found, so you've got to tickle their ears with something else. Beloved, I don't want that something else. I want that something else, you know, what the Lord has placed. Somebody called me one time, it's when I was pastoring in San Antonio, and they said, do you have any young people in your church? Oh, I got in the flesh when he said that. I said, yes, sir, we got 39 young people. That's the membership we had. We got 39. They're all young. You know why? Because they're all children of God. You don't need to worry about the age group. Do I have my peers there? Am I going to have fellowship with somebody my age? I got better than that, beloved. How about fellowship with God? That's what you're going to find there. Now, you'll have fellowship with each other, but if you don't have fellowship with God, you don't have fellowship with each other. And here you find the old men and old women and the boys and girls having fellowship with each other, where in man's society, they're regulated, they're segmented, and they're segregated. Not so in the house of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord can bless a man to preach a message that will answer the questions of several in the congregation. And they may be different questions. They may be different problems. It may address different issues. But in that one message, God can bless it to apply to a myriad of cases. Now, that's a miracle. You're worried about miracles not happening. It does happen when that occurs. I pray we see that tonight. And if it is, thank God for it. Because that's where we are, in the streets of Jerusalem. The boys and girls are playing. They're happy. They're glad to be there. And the old men and the old women, yes, they're leaning on their staff, but they're glad to be there as well. This is the city that the Lord made. And so, my friends, the gospel comes and they can get it. They can understand it. I remember when our Lord Jesus Christ was coming into Jerusalem and they were waving those palm branches and lining the street with it. And they were saying, Hosanna, Hosanna to the Son of David. And the Bible goes out of its way to tell us that the children were crying this as well. The grumpy Pharisees didn't like this. And so they went to the Lord and they said, "You hear what they are saying. Translation, will you hush these children up?" The Lord said, "Hast thou not read? Hast thou not heard out of the mouths of babes and sucklings? Hast thou ordained strength because of my enemies?" You know, beloved, I've heard people say, well, children get more out of church than they think they do. I'll one up that. Sometimes they get more out of church than you do. In the case here, they were getting more out of church than the doctors of the law. They were recognizing the Son of David, the Messiah, coming, and they were crying, Hosanna. We have a brother in Texas named Harvey Bass, and I love to hear him tell stories from long ago. He has Alzheimer's now. It's very sad, but back when his mind was there, he'd always tell this story, and I never minded him telling me this story. He told it to me at least 53 times, and it didn't bother me at all because I loved the story. You see, beloved, back then, and this is part of the story, they knew how to take care of visiting preachers. I came up to the Lawrence house, and they told me I could have anything I wanted. They gave me a room that had a bed in it. And they said, this is your bed, and you can hang your clothes up in this closet. And when you come down, you will have dinner prepared for you. You don't have to cook. It's there for you. Sister Karen is getting very nervous right now, I can tell. This has a happy ending, sister. Don't worry. Beautiful lasagna, salad, rolls. My favorite pound cake for later. It's coming. I can't wait. We're going to stop church early tonight for the pound cake. All right? Anything I wanted. They said, now you just follow us. We'll take you right to the church. You know what they made visiting preachers do 50, 60, 70 years ago? They made them pick cotton. Isn't that terrible? See, Brother Harvey was telling me there was two preachers. One of them was Elder Fisher, and I forget who the other one was. And they had church at night, and during the day, they go out and they pick cotton, and they made the preachers go out there with them. Terrible, but they did it. And I said, and I even said that, I said, well, Brother Harvey, isn't that kind of imposing? He said, oh, no, because we'd get our sacks, and we'd go along the rows, and we'd talk scripture all day long. And we had fellowship. And then at lunch, we'd all meet together and we'd have lunch and we'd just sing or we'd fellowship. He said, one time I crawled into Elder Fisher's lap and my father caught me and he said, oh, no, don't bother the brethren. And Elder Fisher looked at Grandpa Bass and he said, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for as such are the kingdom of God. That old preacher was so inviting that this little five-year-old boy would crawl in his lap. Here are the boys and girls playing in the streets of Jerusalem. Here were the old men and the old women, and they found grace, they found sustenance, they found a blessing. They did not have to have a special Sunday school or children's service to apply the Bible to their intellect. God took care of it. They didn't have to have something to address the needs of their particular generation. God made the application. You see, my beloved, if God doesn't give the blessing, there is no blessing. And so he says that the streets will be full. In verse 6, it says, thus saith the Lord of hosts, if it be marvelous in the eyes of the remnant of this people in these days, should it also be marvelous in mine eyes, saith the Lord of hosts. Now that's an amazing text. Because what God is saying is, if you think it's good, just imagine how it looks to me. Now remember the verse we sang? Lord, how delightful 'tis to see a whole assembly worship thee. That's what God is seeing right now. God is watching. God is listening. God is here. You see, when we sing, When we sang these songs, who were we singing them to? Well, were we singing them to each other? Oh, no, we were singing them to God. The song service is a concert of praise to God. We're singing directly to Jehovah, and He listens. And it's amazing to think that He would take time, but He does. Should not we take time to come to Jerusalem? The Lord says, you like it? I love it. You think it's good? Just imagine how it looks from the view of paradise. You see, I believe God is watching. I believe God is here. When we say amen, there used to be a preacher one time from Oklahoma. And one time I said amen. He made a real good point, and I said amen. He goes, Brother David, God heard you say amen. I go, got me to thinking. God really did. He heard me say amen. I hope I meant that amen. And so I don't give my amens for free these days, because God is listening. Amen. God is listening. And aren't you glad God is listening? Aren't you glad God is here? You can tell when the Lord is here. And you feel better. It's not a fearful thing, is it? You don't go home from saying, you know, Jehovah was here and it scared me to death. No, you say, the Lord was with us today. I can face another week. I can praise His name better. I can handle the problems. You know, a lot of times when we think about our services, we think, well, we had a good service. We had a big crowd. My dad used to get on to me for saying that. I don't say that anymore. Because what he wanted to hear me say is, was God there? And if God was there, it doesn't matter the crowd. I know we want a big crowd. It'd be wonderful to see every seat filled in this house. But I tell you, one seat I want filled, and that's the Lord's seat. If that's filled, the Lord is with us, and we will have a good meeting. And we can go home and say, the Lord was there. I had communion and fellowship with God. Not, you know, I enjoyed with each other, but oh, God was here. We think about when John saw that vision of Christ, and he was walking in the midst of the golden candlesticks, each one representing the churches in Asia. Christ walking in their midst. We think about that scripture that says that he sings praises in the midst of the congregation. Christ, can you imagine that? If I could go back in time to any Bible episode, here's the one I'd go to. After the communion and feet washing, it said they sung a hymn and went to the Mount of Olives. That's where I'd go. You know why? Because that is the only reference to our Lord singing. And I would love to hear Him sing. Wouldn't that be a blessing? Well, wait a minute. I think we have that every time the Lord meets, because He says, I will sing praises in the midst of the congregation. You may not hear Him with these ears, but with your soul, you do. You see, there's a lot more going on in church than we think. You say, we're going to the meeting. We're going to go there. We're going to sit down. We're going to sing. Hope they sing this song. Hope we sing that song. You call out your number. It gets sung. You feel better about that. The brother gets up, he preaches, you feel, he hit liberty, I enjoyed it, I enjoyed the message, I like that subject, he preached on my favorite chapter, whatever. Then you have lunch, I hope sister so-and-so brought that dish. There's more to it than that. There's more to it than that. There's more to it than you opening your mouth and singing. There's the grace of God coming down upon you, and you actually singing praises to God. If that's not happening, then you need to pray for that to happen. And when the man of God is up there and you're just kind of not getting it, you need to pray God to make the application to you that you can worship Him. Beloved, that's what I want to do in Nashville this weekend. I didn't come to see Opryland. I didn't come to see anything else except the house of God. And I really want to worship God. That's why we're here. I want to worship him. I want to feel his presence. I want to meet in the streets of Jerusalem with the old men and the old women and the boys and girls playing, and I want to feel his presence and know that he's watching down from paradise and walking in our midst. And in verse 7, it says, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, Behold, I will save my people from the east country and from the west country, and I will bring them, and they shall dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God in truth and in righteousness." You know what, beloved? You're here because God put you here. You just didn't just decide to be a Christian or a child of God. That was the work of the Holy Ghost. And that ought to make you very thankful. See, if you're understanding what I'm saying, if you feel the presence of the Holy Ghost, then that is an indication that you're one of his. And that means you're going to heaven. That ought to make you feel good. I mean, that's better than any vacation you've ever been on. That's better than anything you could ever think about. That day when we see the Lord face to face will be the best day of your life, and that day will never end. It will never quit. It will be better than this meeting. I hope he comes tonight. That'd be a great way to end this meeting in paradise. This meeting will end, and the eternal meeting will go on forever. That's a nice thing to think about. Like that song that we sing, the glorious hope of endless rest is pleasing news to me. Amen, it is. It's pleasing news to me, and I like hearing about it here in this life. And I like thinking that this is here possible because the Lord did it. He built it. He made it possible. And I'm here because he put me here. I'm not here because I did enough good works or merited or did anything that was, you know, a merit badge. I didn't earn my Primitive Baptist Church merit badge. And so therefore I get to go into the church. I'm here by the grace and mercy of God because I do not deserve to be here. And neither do you. And so when people come to me and they say, "Well, I joined the church, but I don't deserve it. I'm not worthy of it." I say, "Amen and amen. You don't deserve it. You're not worthy of it, but join the church. Don't give me that lame line. I'll step all over your toes. I'll look mean at you. I will growl at you. You join the church." People say, "Well, I want to join. I want to preach. I feel the leadership of the Spirit, but I just don't feel worthy." Of course you're not worthy. Preach anyway. I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy of it. But God, in his mercy, has blessed us with this. Hallelujah. Thank God for that. He'll say, "I don't deserve to wash the saints' feet." No, you don't. You get down on your knees and wash them and be thankful for it. God says, "I will bring them. I will place them. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. From the east, from the west, and they will dwell, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And I will be their God in truth and righteousness." Let's go to the book of Acts and let's see the fulfillment of this prophecy in Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. I would love to go back and see this. This would be the second place I'd like to go to. The day of Pentecost when Peter gets up there and he preaches that incredible sermon. Now, here was a man that just a few days ago was denying that he ever knew the Lord. Three times. The Holy Ghost makes a difference. Peter gets up, and to those same people that he denied that he knew the Lord, said, "Ye with wicked hands have crucified and slain the Lord of glory." Man, where did he get that boldness from? He got it from the Lord. So he preaches this sermon, and they hear, and they say, "What shall we do to be saved?" "Well, what shall we do?" And he said, "Repent, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and you shall, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." And they gladly received his word, and 3,000 joined the church. And the church, being there in Jerusalem, we read about these people, the Primitive Baptist Church in Jerusalem. In verse 41, They that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common. Here's the fulfillment of Zechariah's prophecy. Old men and old women, boys and girls, they're dwelling together. They're eating together. They're breaking bread. They're having fellowship. And they're continuing in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. And they had all things common. They were calling each other brother and sister. There wasn't any high master, right reverend sort of thing. Everybody was the same. Brother and sister. He said they sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. It means they went over to Sister Karen's house and they had lasagna together. They did things like that. People who love the Lord like to be together. In the book of, I think it's the book of Malachi, though I may be mistaken, it says, they that fear the Lord spake often one with another. They enjoyed each other's company. We should. One time, me and Robbie were talking. She goes, well, you know, most of our friends are Primitive Baptists. I said, well, so what's the problem is with what? That's the problem? What, are we being exclusive? No. We just like being together. They ate their meat with gladness. They were happy to see one another. They sat down, they ate, and they enjoyed it. In verse 47, it says, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. They were praising God. That's what we're doing. It's what we want to do. We want to praise God. They had favor with all the people. That means they had a name in the community. They didn't put their church down in some holler 50 miles away from nowhere. I'm sorry I said that. Church of Fredericksburg is right off the main street. You can find it real easy. But they had favor with all the people. They went out in the community. People knew who they were. And they had a good reputation. And I believe that was an attraction to people. Maybe someone would come and want to find out what's going on there. I like that one scripture there when they when they laid the foundation of the temple and they were rejoicing. And so they could hear the sound of the rejoicing from afar off. That must have been neat to go and hear that. They were shouting. They were really enjoying church that day. They were really praising God. You know, people come to the handshake line, I enjoyed it, I enjoyed it, I enjoyed it. They were really enjoying it because they could hear from miles away. So, my beloved, this is a fulfillment of prophecy. And then we could go to Acts, or we can go to Hebrews chapter 12, and you can read where Paul said that we have come to Mount Zion. The city of the, well, let me read that real quick. And brother Buddy, you're just about better get ready there. I had to drive further than you did. And where am I going? Hebrews chapter 12. And he's comparing that design, and he says this is a so much better place, and it is. And he says, right, verse 22, but ye are coming to Mount Zion and are unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels. Now, that text is really interesting to me because he said we're come to this, and this is the church, and so it must be a place where we commune with angels. Well, that's impressive. You don't have to watch Michael Landon to be touched by an angel. You can come to the church and receive that. Well, you don't need anything on television. You got it better right here. You don't need ABC, NBC, and all that other stuff. You got it better right here. Say, I want to see a miracle. You're hearing a man preach. It's a miracle. I want prophecy fulfilled. You're right there in the New Testament church. It's prophecy fulfilled. I want to be touched by an angel. You're an innumerable company of angels. Everything you need is right here. Everything your soul would ever require is found in the church that our Lord built. He says, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. So what you hear is you come and you meet God, you meet Christ, you're in the spirit of just men made perfect, and you hear the blood of Christ speak. Now I want you to meditate on that for a little bit. You hear the blood of Christ speak. What in the world does that mean? Because he says it speaks better things than the blood of Abel. Remember, Abel was murdered, and God said, his blood crieth to me from the ground. I wonder what his blood was crying. God heard the voice of Abel's blood. You know what I think it was saying? It was saying murder and vengeance. Vengeance. Christ's blood speaks forgiveness, eternity, deliverance. In other words, it's a place where you hear the truth, where you hear the gospel, and there's no other place. This is the city of truth, the city of God, the city of our solemnities, the city of Mount Zion, New Jerusalem, which came down, prepared, and is here, and is among men. Now, what do we do? What should we do? We ought to come to church, right? Amen. We ought to come to church. We ought to do what the Spirit says in Revelation. It says the Spirit and the bride say, come. We ought to be telling folks to come. 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 Got the best thing in the world right here. Come, come, come. That'll be a place that we're delighted to be here. I'm delighted to be here. And I pray that God will continue to be with us. May God bless you is my prayer. Come ahead, dear brother.